Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you even have a clue what we're doing on this beautiful spring night?
We're doing a podcast, I'm pretty sure.
We are.
It's a live one.
That's why I sang it the way I did.
Yeah, we're on Discord right now.
We are.
And so you should be here. You should have been here too already.
It's too late
for
you.
But since you're not here, unless you are here, you should come to the next one, which is always on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern on Discord. The link's always in the show notes. So go there and click on it.
You should.
And then join us and be here.
10 p.m. Eastern.
With us.
Anyway.
Live.
Right.
Yeah, anyway, but we're doing a podcast.
We are.
So what are we doing on the podcast?
I'm going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, bye, everybody.
And how they should always win because I love them. Mm. And and Colts and cognitive dissonance.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm going to...
The Cowboys are going to... Love this mix.
I love the Cowboys. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. I grew up on the Dallas Cowboys. I don't mean to disappoint any fans of that great team.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you guys even had pet names for the players.
I didn't.
Well, your family did.
They did?
Yeah, like Troy Boy or whatever. Didn't they like call it like something
Everybody
like that?
Called Troy
well, yeah,
and
but
Troy
okay,
Boy.
But like, if you didn't give a shit about the team, you didn't call him Troy Boy. You know, so, like, you guys had your own little thing.
It wasn't just me and my mom and dad that did that. Like, everybody called Troy Aikman Troy Boy. It wasn't just us.
Whatever.
You whatever.
I'm just saying.
You know. I loved Michael Irvin, personally. He ran, like a man who danced ballet in his spare time. His running was gorgeous. But we're not here to talk about football for realsies.
No.
We're just going to...
We're going to glaze through. It's going to be a bit about
it's
that
going to be a
and
bit.
Other stuff where we're talking about.
I'm going to tie it all together brilliantly. It's
cognitive
going to be a
dissonance
brilliant story.
And, you know, cults
yeah.
and shit.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to do this?
I sure as fuck am.
Let's do it.
Okie dokie. Sports. Go team sports. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to tell you a story about the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. This should have been, honestly, a clue early on that I might have had autism, which there's a whole different conversation about that.
Yeah.
That we're going to talk about with regard to cognitive dissonance.
Okay.
And facts and science and things.
Yeah.
But we'll get there in a minute. So when I was young, my family loved the fucking Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Okay. We would watch the game every week that it came on. I think it was like, was that Sunday nights? I don't remember now.
Generally football was going to be Sundays.
Sundays? Yes.
Not necessarily Sunday night, but Sundays.
Okay. So that is a thing that we did. And me and my sister got Dallas Cowboy pajamas for Christmas 1 year.
Okay.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. We were into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was about 12, I started trying to really pay attention because, you know, I noticed the boys all like football, right? So I was like, I'm going to really try to pay attention to this thing.
Sure, yeah.
And learn the footballs.
Yeah, I got to know what's going on there.
Like, there's sitting down with your dad and pretending you like it, and then there's actually like, but wait, which team is ours?
Sure.
We love the Dallas Cowboys. Which ones are those?
Yeah.
And are we...
And what are they doing right now?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah, right? Like, oh, yeah, my team's on the field. What offense, defense, what is the difference?
Sure.
Who does what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's learning all of it, right? And so then I can remember when I was 12, I asked my dad, if our team was likely to win. And he was like, well, yeah. Well, yeah, of course they are. And I was like, no. Like, I'm asking for real. Like, outside of we like them.
Yeah.
Like, of course we like them.
Because the answer was always yes.
Yeah.
They were always.
Obviously, we want them to win. Right. That's a no-brainer. Right. But, like, how do they really stand
against them? Yeah, are they actually going to win?
Or yeah. Like what's the, you know, what do we have to like, gauge here? Like, what's happening, right?
Right.
He was like, no, we're going to win. And I was like, oh, okay, so can you, like, break that down for me? And, like, I was, like, trying to, like, I didn't have the vocabulary to ask, what are the statistics? What are the two teams, like, the going against each other? Who are we playing? How's their record?
How do they match up? Yeah, right.
How far are we in the season? Are we in preseason?
What's our record right now?
Yeah, like, what is happening? I don't really know about this football scoring thing, but I'm really trying here, right? But
sure.
I didn't have the vocabulary to ask, can you pull your head out of your fucking fan ass for a minute and just be a normal guy, like, talking math and figures at me, right?
And like, wait, that's a normal guy talking math and figures?
I don't fucking know. I don't fucking know. Like, I just didn't want him to be super uber fan. I just wanted him to be a normal person talking about normal things.
I thought we talked about sports and spit a lot.
I don't fucking know what guys do. Like, honestly, I just wanted to know the truth. Mm. I wanted to know objectively. I wanted to know the facts of the case, right?
Yeah.
And, like, it mattered to me very much. And it mattered that I couldn't get an answer from him.
Yeah.
Like, that really...
A legitimate answer.
A legitimate... trustworthy, reliable answer that meant something other than I love the boys.
Right.
I love the boys. Of course they're going to win. Like, that's not what I'm asking. You're answering a question that I'm not asking. Can you please answer the question that I'm trying to ask? And that I feel like as a grown ass fucking adult that you probably know what I'm trying to ask. Like, unless you're stupid. Are you stupid? I don't think you're stupid, Dad. I don't think my dad is stupid.
Right.
He just, like, he literally could not comprehend that I wanted an objective, records-based, fact-based answer.
Yeah.
And that is how I think about cognitive dissonance and cults. Because it's... not being able to take, I want my team to win, away from, like, separate it from, my team might not win because of these factors that play into it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that feels a lot like how politics are right now with the whole, I don't really care about how these murders went down. So much as that, and I'm talking about the ICE murders, of course. In
Preddy
very,
and Good.
Preddy and Good and the others that preceded.
Right, yeah.
And all the ones since that we just haven't even seen because there's probably just so many. At any rate, these are the white people that we know about, okay?
Sure.
Like, let's just put that out there, too.
Right.
So I just feel like... people can look at the same video and get what they want out of it because it would be so jarring to their personality to be able to admit, oh, fuck me, I backed the wrong fucking football team.
Right. Like, well, let's
team,
step back
my
a
team
second
did a thing.
And say that the right, there were a lot of people during the shootings that saw the video from different perspectives, right?
Mm-hmm.
They saw a terrorist as opposed to someone who got murdered, you know,
right.
and they watched the same videos that we watched.
Yeah.
Right.
And so what they saw was that man drew his gun. He didn't.
Well, I mean, they didn't see that, but
assumed they believed that
they
must
did. Be true.
No, they believe that they, like, if you ask them, did you see him draw his gun? They would like look at it and say, yeah, that's what's in his hand right there. They
right.
believe that's what they're seeing.
Because they wanted to real bad.
Right.
But
that's cognitive dissonance.
Right. And there was even somebody in the like higher up that said that he had a cell phone shaped gun in his hand.
See, and I hadn't heard
like that.
Like,
and there
that,
was something
like,
that got written that like
blew that. My fucking mind. I was like, are you kidding me right now? So that's my intro to this. I love the Dallas Cowboys, so that means they always win.
Right.
Like, somehow that math works, right? Sure. I love them, so they always win because they have to win because I love them.
Yeah.
And my personality is wrapped up in this.
Right.
So cognitive dissonance is the psychological discomfort people feel when their beliefs, actions, or evidence, like actual fucking facts,
yeah,
conflict with each other. And that is what my dad was experiencing when I was asking him to tell me, what are the actual fucking statistics of the Dallas Cowboys? He could not fathom that they might lose. He could not fathom that there was a record that might say, actually, it's probably not good for them this time. They're stacked up against a really solid team and, you know, our quarterback is out and, like, all these reasons or what the fuck ever.
Right, right. Rational thought, right?
Yeah.
Like that when people are very passionate about things like sports or about politics or about religion, mm-hmm. their ability to reason out a rational response to something is definitely skewed because of their beliefs.
Right. And this isn't just something that happened like when I was a kid. Like, we have gone over to watch football games occasionally with my parents, and they are still like that to this day. Like, if you watch a football game with them, the whole way through the game, every single time the ref makes a call against the Cowboys,
yeah,
it's cheating, it's not fair. It's, you know, they're on purpose against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And every time something happens that the refs don't call and my parents feel like they should have, that's just more proof that everybody's against the Cowboys. Everybody knows.
That's like cherry picking from hear. The Bible, mm-hmm. right? Like, I mean, mm-hmm. that's you pick out what you want the message to be, and you make that the message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see whatever you want to see.
Exactly.
And that becomes what the truth is.
And it's even worse than that, though, because it's not just my team is awesome and my team can't lose and my team always wins. And if they don't, there's a reason. And it's because the refs are cheaters.
Right.
It's even worse. Like, when I was a kid, if the other team made an objectively, unarguably awesome catch that was just like beautiful, like a piece of art that even dumb dumb me could see, was like, damn, right?
Right.
Like, he could go all the way, like, fuck, that was fucking awesome, right? Yeah, like, yeah. There's no getting around it. You see how fucking awesome it is. If I was like, damn, that was brilliant, like, I know we're not cheering for that team, but
yeah.
Holy moly, like, the whole room would go silent and my dad would glare at me and there would just be like, it got to where there was just this understanding, like, you are not allowed to even notice, much less praise, if the other team does something objectively good.
Yeah.
And that to me is even worse than my team can't lose. Not only can't my team lose, not only are the refs cheating to make sure that my team, you know, has it the most rough.
Right.
And so if they do end up winning, it's by overcoming the cheating.
Yeah.
Not only that, but the other team, they're so evil and nasty and bad that anything that good that they do is probably just luck or a fluke or like
not only
whatever.
That, but you, even being his daughter,
yeah,
just for thinking something about that team was good,
yeah,
got in trouble,
yeah,
right.
And it's not that like I got grounded or
no,
like,
but you definitely felt consternation. You felt judged. You felt, you know, there was a reason you did not do the right thing in that moment, according
exactly.
to your dad.
Yes, you know, there was so. That social negativity, you know, that understanding that I just broke a boundary that I didn't understand. It was not spelled out to me.
Right.
And, you know, as somebody with autism, I understand now that I do need those things spelled out. And so I did it like over and over and over again. I fucked up and I broke all the social taboos because nobody ever spelled them out. And I couldn't understand, like, why would you be glaring at me? Why would you be upset? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
because no, that objectively was a good catch.
Right. Right.
I'm just admiring the art. Like, are we not here to enjoy football? Like, I don't understand. I don't even like football.
Well, and I feel like there are levels of fanaticism, right? And it's kind of like the same levels that you would give to people who are ultra religious versus like not, you know, it's that all in or nothing mentality, right?
Right.
And there are just certain people who are all in on certain things, and there's no dissuading them from those opinions.
Exactly.
Like, and no way.
Yeah. And I'm going to talk about that in a second too. So when people experience cognitive dissonance, they are very motivated to resolve that tension, even if it means lying to others and even if it means lying to themselves.
Well, and I'm going to say this too, like part of that, because they are so persuasive to themselves, they are also very persuasive to others with regard to how they pitch these ideas, because they're very vocal about how right they are. You know, I'm not saying they're any more correct, but
that can be both good and bad. Like, absolutely. It definitely depends on the audience.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I was just as passionate about, you know, facts.
Sure.
And me being passionate about XYZ did not.
But those are not contradictory ideas. These are people that hold contradictory ideas in their head and are trying to persuade people that these two contradictory ideas make sense.
Well, that's true. So. That is true. So, we talked about football as an everyday example of dissonance, but there's also things like somebody who is like a solid smoker, like two packs a day, but is a doctor and will literally tell people, you know, smoking causes cancer, but I smoke.
Yeah.
And like, there is some cognitive dissonance in that as well. Now, that's not a great example because, like, there is also addiction in that.
Sure. And they're probably aware of the downsides.
Right. So they're not, like, super excited about it.
They just choose to still do it.
Insofar as. Maybe choose not to pursue all the routes that they could in fighting the addiction.
Yeah.
But having said that, I do want to acknowledge that smoking is supposed to be, like, one of the greatest addictions out there.
I can personally attest to that.
Yeah.
So I don't smoke now, but
no, but it's been a long, hard road.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I quit like what, 2 years ago now or something like that.
Might have been more than that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it's not easy. another one. And this one, as a person who has some baggage, this one hit close to home. My partner loves me versus my partner treats me badly or even abuses me. Like, that is some, not in this relationship. Oh my God. Like, from my past. Okay. Like, Jesus. Right. I said baggage.
We're literally husband and wife. You might want to clarify
Sorry. No, not this guy. This guy's awesome. No, I'm talking about, like, you know, relationships in my past. Like, it explains some of why women stay. Like, that's always the question. Sure. Why do women stay? And some of it is the cognitive dissonance, and some of it is like other factors like finances or being trapped by other kids, career, that kind of thing. Like, there's so many different reasons, but one of them is the cognitive dissonance of he loves me, or I deserved it, or I caused it, or he didn't mean it. Like,
right.
That one really made me wince.
Sure.
Because there is some cognitive dissonance there.
Yeah.
The way that the brain resolves this, like, remember I said that people are motivated to try to resolve these two opposing thoughts that are happening.
Yeah.
Is by changing the behavior, changing the belief, adding a justification, or just ignoring the conflicting evidence altogether, like denying that that evidence is even there.
Sure.
Which, you know, is what my dad was doing with football. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Cowboys will win, period.
Well, and then, I mean, same thing, like young creationists for you know, the belief that the earth is only 6,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
There's hard physical evidence that shows that the earth is much older than that.
Mm-hmm.
And they just refuse to accept that as facts.
Yeah.
You know, they've decided that that is not true because of their God, because of their Bible. And their idea wins because they believe.
Exactly.
Then that's it.
And that's it. The right. end. Yeah. The fact of the matter is your brain hates being wrong more than it loves truth. Generally speaking.
Yeah.
For like humanity as a whole.
Right.
The brain hates being wrong more than it loves the truth.
No, it's actually very hard to break that habit of being correct. You know, like if you think you are right.
Yeah.
It's a habit. It's a habit of something you've built up your entire life, right? Like mm-hmm. the indoctrination into thinking that cowboys are the best, or the indoctrination into young creationist mm-hmm. ideas, or yeah. the indoctrination into really anything out there.
Yeah.
If you build it over the course of a lifetime, you are so right that it's almost impossible to get back to that wrong that is actually right.
Yeah.
You know, like it hurts to admit that you've been wrong your entire life.
I mean, it does. Like, I can't even imagine. See, okay, so I grew up with the understanding that we were Republican. Me, my sister, and my parents, we were Republican. That's just the way it was. Like, that's everybody's Republican. That's just the way it is. Anybody who's not Republican is dumb. Like, whatever, right? Like, I didn't know any better. I didn't know the difference, but I didn't even know what the opposite of Republican was. Oh, Democrat? Like, I wasn't interested in history, politics, geography,
right.
Current affairs. Like, I didn't know any of that stuff because I didn't give a shit.
When you were younger.
When I was younger.
Right.
So, literally, I thought I was a Republican because that's what I had always been told. Kind of like a kid that, like, comes home from school and says, Mom, what are we a religion? What religion are we?
Right.
Like, are we something? What are we? Like, I don't even know, right? And I know you remember this because we've told this story so many times about how it was when I moved to Ohio and, you know, had been out on my own for a while.
Yeah.
And I was working at Borders Books and Music.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just been out in the world enough and learned enough about human rights and equality. So this was at the end of the year 2000. I shot an email, like a blind copy, so that, you know, this was like before Facebook kind of thing. So like I sent an email to all my friends, like all 5 million of them.
Yeah.
But I had blind copied them so they couldn't see each other's email addresses. I don't know if y'all remember that was a thing.
It's going, still a thing. You can still do that.
I mean, nobody uses email except for work. So I'm explaining this to anybody who's like millennial and younger.
Sure.
Like, anyway, the email basically was like, oh my God, you guys, I think I'm a Democrat. And like almost everybody either ignored it or was like, duh. But husband, who at the time was not even my boyfriend,
right,
wrote back to me and was like, congratulations, welcome to the dark side, or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, it is hard, but to me, it was exciting to learn new things. But again, that's more because I'm a little bit different.
Yeah.
I'm built different. I care more about facts. Like, I've never understood the would you rather be happy or would you rather be right? My answer is that's a false equivalency. I would rather that we all be right with all the correct information because then we can all be happy. Isn't that what everybody wants? Like, it does not ever occur to me. No, some people actually would rather be happy and false.
Yeah.
They literally would rather be happy in their falseness. And I don't understand that.
It's just easier.
I know,
you don't have to change your entire worldview. You know, you don't have to change what you believed your entire life. You don't have
But I didn't understand that until the last couple of years when I got diagnosed with autism, that like, oh, I'm different. Oh, I didn't know.
And keep in mind, a lot of times by admitting that something is factual and agreeing to go that route to where you are learning the new fact, you are then breaking away from a culture that is still accepting that old fact, mm-hmm. that old non-fact, right? Yeah. So you're literally losing
everything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're breaking away from people that are not going to accept the fact that you now like facts.
Exactly.
So it's really hard to make that jump when you don't have a support group that's going to take you in immediately.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's true. It's definitely true.
Yeah. Now, it's easier if, like, you know, your parents were still down in, you know, Texas, and then you moved up here and you fell in with a bunch of friends that were, you know, Bengals fans.
Right.
Then, you know, it's okay. You can become a Bengals fan.
Yeah.
Because that's just easy. Like, well, sure. Whatever. You guys are all Bengals fans. I want to be a Bengals fan, right?
Sure. If I gave a shit, yeah.
Right. The same thing goes for a lot of times people will change the type of religion that they use because they're in a different area or group
like
they fall
over
into.
There, I went to this right? kind of church. But over here, this is where everybody goes and it's just easier. Sure.
Right.
Whatever church is church.
I think a lot of time it has to do with just the ease of social interaction mm-hmm. more than anything.
No, I totally get that. I've never been that way, and it was a real eye opener to understand that I'm the weirdo.
Right.
Like, and I am, and I get that now.
Well, there's even a saying, "Get along to go along," right?
Yeah, like, when in Rome.
Yeah. Like it's all through our culture, like this idea that it's better to fit in, right? It's mm-hmm. better to like be the sheep than it is to be the leader,
yeah.
right? Because it's just harder to be. If you go against the grain. Your life is going to be harder because you have to then answer to everybody that thinks you're wrong, which is a significant amount of people.
Right, exactly.
So, a lot of the times, not all the time. I mean, we all believe certain things, but not... There's also a lot of things that it can cause problems, you know?
Not like this. Not like this. Well, okay, so the reason that we even got onto this topic, I watched two YouTube videos back to back, and I'm going to have you link them because I yeah. really feel like they're both relevant to this conversation.
Sure.
And I didn't realize when I was watching them how complementary they were to each other. One is from Crash Course, which they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're put up Hank and John Green.
John Green, right.
Yeah. The Vlog Brothers.
Yeah.
Don't forget to be awesome. DFTBA.
Right.
Yeah, so this one is called The Secret Language of Cults, and it's by, let me get her name, hold on, because she's amazing. No, I wrote this and then, like, completely forgot that I would need to scroll down for it, but she's awesome.
Yeah.
Dang it, it's Amanda something.
It's Amanda something, guys.
No,
We're going to get there eventually.
Shut up, why you got to be
like this? I don't know when, but it's coming here soon.
Why you got
to
be like that?
I'm just trying to fill space while so we don't sit here for 5 minutes while you're just like scrolling through your phone trying to find this person's name.
Well, I can't remember.
I know.
And I didn't
And maybe it's not that important. You know?
Okay. All right.
Perfect. It'll be in the show notes, guys. It's Amanda something.
It's Amanda
her
something.
Her name will be in the show notes.
In the show notes. And there she's awesome. And you should watch this video because she talks about how her dad broke out of a cult called something like Synanon. Like, it sounds like synonym and cinnamon. It's like a cross between those.
Okay.
And the reason that he was able to get out of that was because he worked in the lab that they were like really concerned about their people getting infected with other viruses. So he worked in the science department as a kid or what the fuck ever, and then decided that he wanted to go on to college and, you know, pursue the sciences.
Yeah.
But it was him working in a science field that got him like asking questions and feeding his curiosity. And so he did break away. Like, he went to college, he got a scholarship and was like, bitch, bye. And that's how he left the, yeah.
Very cool.
That's how he left that cult.
Was it I don't even know if I should say this because I'm scared, but is it Amanda Montell?
It is, actually.
Okay. Thank you, Brady.
No, she wrote a couple of books. One is about cult languages, and another one is called, she's a linguist. So the other one is called the Art of Magical Thinking or something like that.
Okay.
And it's about like that whole like manifestation, like manifesting, putting it out into the universe. And she's like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Like,
she's not into magic kind of thing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Anyway, it's a fantastic video on Crash Course. And you should definitely watch it. She is like a guest host.
Oh, okay, okay. I was like, I didn't, okay.
You were like, right. How does that, what?
Yeah, no, I was just trying to.
How does Amanda and Crash Course?
Yeah, because I'm
she's
thinking,
delivering a lecture. Yeah, well, she's delivering a lecture on this topic on Crash Course.
Okay, all right.
And again, it'll be in the show notes. So we watched that. And the other video is by Jessica Stansberry. And this one, you have to get there through the link because she hides the video because I don't know why. But every time she puts out a political video, it's like she's worried it'll fuck up her brand or something. Either that or YouTube has decided for her. I don't know. But her name is Jessica Stansberry. And usually she does like either like how to do stuff on YouTube or how to like use YouTube or how to like make money on YouTube, or she does stuff like photography or videography. She's like a little bit scattery, like she doesn't have like a solid niche down.
That's an official term there, scattery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like me, I'm also scattery. And so anyway, this particular video was specifically about cognitive dissonance, and it's called Why People Believe Lies When the Truth Is Right in Front of Their Eyes, or something like that.
And just as a warning, it does cover the Preddy shooting.
Yeah, so. That's what I was going to say. It specifically covers the Preddy shooting and how she was just like so shocked. She was like, it didn't even occur to me that you could watch that video and walk away with any other facts.
Right.
And so she talks about cognitive dissonance in it, and it's a really great video. But having watched it right after I just watched the thing about cults, I was like, oh damn. Like, and then I wanted to talk to you about it, husband, about cognitive dissonance and cults and all how they fit together, and you were like, well, we should do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing a thing. So
no, I mean, it links up
timely.
Directly with religion and, you mm-hmm. know, the politics that we always talk about. But when we talk about politics, everything, it all kind of ties into the same idea.
It does. So. It does. But not all cults are, like, religious-y or bad. Like, it kind of surprised me to hear both of them say this. Like, cults can be kind of okay-ish or whatever.
Yeah.
Some examples of cults that are not religious-based, they're either cults or cult-adjacent organizations, or like MLMs, like Tupperware, candles, Pampered Chef, jewelry, leggings. You know, all them bitches that be selling all that shit.
I don't know.
It's a pyramid scheme.
It depends on what you consider bad. Frivolous spending on bullshit. So.
Well, the reason that these are considered cults, we'll start with the MLM,
mm-hmm.
Is because they are specifically geared toward a specific audience. And it is typically your either work from home mom, your housewife, or I didn't realize this until I looked into it, immigrant families who are struggling but have a large family and friend network. And so these organizations, they're like telling you, don't you want to start your own business and be an entrepreneur? And, you know, when you sell stuff, you get to keep a cut. And then, you know, I get to keep a cut of your cut. And, you know, it's a pyramid scheme, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and there was this whole section about how, like, the more people that you have in your organization under you, like, the higher and more prestigious your title sounds, and you have your own language and all of that, right?
Yeah.
And I can remember, like, way in the early days of Facebook, all of my friends were selling. I had two friends selling Tupperware. I had one of those was also selling Pampered Chef. And then I had two other friends separate from this that were selling candles.
Yeah.
And then there was a couple of bitches that were selling jewelry. And then, oh, I didn't even list the makeup, like the fucking Avon and the Mary Kay. And the Mary Kay is the fancy MLM, but the Avon is for, you know, the everyday woman. You know, less expensive, affordable makeup, right?
Yeah.
And then the leggings is the most recent one. The fucking leggings.
No, even work is cult.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. I'm not there yet. But yeah, yeah, we're just talking about the MLMs being a cult.
Right.
And they're geared towards people who have a need and that they can fulfill the need by telling them this is where you fit. Sure. Like, your need is money and friendship, and we can give you both.
Right.
And boom. Now you're part of this organization. Only it's not an organization. It's a fucking cult.
Right.
Conspiracy movements, obviously, they get very culty.
Yes. And, QAnon, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's actually listed separately from conspiracy movements because it's so big and current.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, it is a conspiracy movement.
Yeah, back in my day, you know, we used to only talk about, there was like Ruby Ridge and, you know, shit like that. So.
Like, when I was thinking conspiracy, like, my brain first went to, like, Bigfoot and stuff like that. And I was like, no, that's not culty. That's just fun. That's just pure good fun.
I mean, some people treat it as culty. Like, some people, we've got a friend that's very much into Bigfoot. Now...
But is he in a club? Is he part of an organization? But
I bet there are people that are.
Well, to call it a cult, it would have to fit certain criteria. And there are questions about what those criteria are. But generally, there's like one solid leader, right? You have to meet up every so often. They make a demand from you. Usually, it's money and time. And like... This is, like, there can be cult-ish behavior or cult-ish beliefs, but to be a cult, the more, it sounds like a religion is a cult.
Well, no. Actually, the more you, because I knew that you were saying that we were going to be talking about jobs coming up, uh-huh. But the more, like, I've been, in my mind, I'm relating it to my job specifically,
yeah.
And, like, the more you say those things, the more I'm like, yep, that happens, yep, that happens, mm-hmm. Yep, that happens. Like, I mean, even insofar as, like, you know, we talk about at jobs now, you know, it's not mm-hmm. just enough to talk about how much money you're going to make. You have to specify all these different ways in which you're going to make money.
Tiers.
Not even tiers,
like levels.
Different things you're going to make the money with. And then you have to hit those goals to do the things that you're going to, you know, and then like, it's just, but why can't it just be about making the money? Like, when did we stop just making money and switch to... Now you have to do all these different things to
gain points.
To gain favor with the boss, you know? Like,
right.
It's like...
Yeah. Can I just fucking show up? Like, I don't even want to be here. And now you're asking me to be here enthusiastically and to perform like a fucking monkey? Come on. Come on. Yeah. There's also, like, special lingo that only you guys understand.
Yeah.
And, like... I love when you come home talking job lingo, and then I'm like, now can you put all of that in English? Because I don't fucking work there. And I don't know what your goddamn TPS report is or what the fuck ever.
Right.
And, like, I think that it's a way of not only making you feel inclusive, but then also, like, not you personally, but, you, the mark, if you will, right?
Sure, yeah.
You go home and you feel like a little bit superior because you know these secret code words that fucking nobody else knows. And it's like, yeah, it's a fucking medical term, you goddamn doctor or whatever. Well, it's a fucking legal term, you goddamn lawyer or whatever. Like, you're not fucking special. It's only special in your little in-group.
But not only that, but that terminology that they use, when you do bring it home, it sets your work life separate from your home life, right? Mm-hmm. It's not something that your home life can even relate to anymore, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't, like, if you talk in business speak when you're at home, then some people would get frustrated and be like, well, I'm just not going to talk to you about this because you just don't understand.
You don't understand.
Blah, blah, blah.
You can't understand.
Right, you can't understand. And then it sets you apart from your family so that you, like, it's all... There's a lot of weird
shit
with regard to how all this stuff works.
Oh, yeah. And jobs, like, do it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's so fucking insidious.
Yeah.
And it's grotesque. And, like, you'll see it everywhere. You'll see it fucking everywhere. And it's so fucking gross. Political tribalism is another version of it.
Sure.
And, like, I don't want to say that, you know, the blue team versus the red team. Like, okay... I don't want to be one of those both sides-ing it people. I don't want to be like both sides, both parties are bad. The end. Like, no, that's actually not the end of the sentence. Yes, both parties have flaws. Let's not pretend that the Democrats are perfect. They're fucking not.
Yeah.
But you know who's wearing the Nazi hats right now, and you know who's killing people? It ain't the Democrats. Right. Okay. So I'm A, not gonna like be blind and say that the Democrats are awesome, but I'm also gonna not both sides it. Okay. Because yeah. I hate that shit.
Right.
That is not how I work.
Right.
So the most famous example of a doomsday cult study was done in 1954 by social psychologist Leon Festinger, which I just love his name.
Yeah.
Okay, so researchers infiltrated this UFO cult. Okay, is this they secretly infiltrated this group.
Yeah.
And this group believed that the world would end in a flood and that a flying saucer was going to rescue the believers. Okay.
Okay. Right.
So members, obviously, they were like freaked the fuck out. So they quit their jobs. They gave away all their possessions. They cut off family, like true cult, wow. Right? They went full in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, the prophecy failed. There was no flood and the UFOs never came to save them.
Right.
And instead of like being like, huh, I guess I was wrong on that. Guess what they did?
Doubled down.
They doubled down. They became even more evangelistic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why? Because the dissonance was unfucking bearable for them. Like, they had sacrificed everything.
Yeah.
How do you go back on that?
You can't.
You can't. Yeah. So the brain invented a third option. Our faith saved the world. And that's what they went with.
Yeah.
They went with, we believed so hard, we gave everything away, and that's why the prophecy did not come to pass.
Right.
We moved the world.
Yeah.
With our faith.
Yeah.
So that study later became a famous 1956 book called When Prophecy Fails, a social and psychological study of a modern group that predicted the destruction of the world. It's actually, like, I looked this up. It's rated 3.8 out of 5 stars on Goodreads. I'm just saying. Okay. I did add it to my TBR because I'm like, I gotta read this study.
Right.
Sometimes, as in the case that I just mentioned, failed prophecies actually strengthen movements instead of disband them. Like, what just happened? Because surviving the disconfirmation requires maximum psychological commitment. Like, hard, right?
Yeah.
Because the doubters leave, the true believers remain. And then the group becomes even more radical.
Right.
Because only the true believers are left.
Yeah.
And they just didn't believe hard enough. That's why they took off. So, all right. So there's that. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, what are you laughing about?
I'm laughing because we've slowly, people have been peeling off on the podcast tonight, and we're down to 2 people.
Mm-hmm.
So I just typed in the chat. I was like, you guys are the true believers.
Yeah, yeah, the true believers. They stuck around to the end. I mean, to be fair, it is already like 11:30.
Right, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Cults are cognitive dissonance machines. Like, that's literally what they're made to do.
Yeah.
They are literally structured to amplify that feeling.
Okay.
Of dis-ease and not disease, dis-ease, unease.
Right.
Like the the discomfort.
Yes.
Okay. And they do this via 4 methods. Okay.
Okay.
4 methods. The first one is through high cost commitment or sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to talk about these more in depth, but let me just tell you what the 4 are.
Sure.
So there's the high cost commitment. Identity fusion, information control, and prophecy reinterpretation.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one is the high cost commitment. And again, that is also known as the sunk cost fallacy.
Okay.
Okay. Psychologists call this justification effort the sunk cost fallacy because it's when people value something more if they have suffered for it.
Sure.
Like, I've already put in so much, I might as well see this through.
Yeah.
Can't quit now.
Right.
We're so close.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, keep going. You've already come so far.
I've definitely been at certain points in my life, I've hit a point where I've done so much for something that I'm like, well, I'm all in now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, I'm also going to send you a link to share from this doctor who wrote an article called Recognizing the Sunk Cost Fallacy May Help You Cut Your Losses. It's a 2023 Psychology Today article. And she tells a story in this article about how she had applied for 4 different colleges, and she wanted to go to, like, she didn't really care a lot. She wanted to go to college, but didn't really care, like, much which one.
Yeah.
So she just wanted to go to the one that was the least expensive.
Sure.
Was going to give her the most for the least amount, right? She heard back from 3 of them immediately, and then, like, after a few weeks, still hadn't heard back from the 4th one. So she made her judgment on the 3 that she had gotten, that she had heard back from, and picked the one that was going to give her the best deal. They wanted $100 for the application or whatever, but it was still the best deal.
Yeah.
So she went ahead and paid the $100. And then right after that, yeah, I mean, you have to see where this is going, right? Right as soon as she did that, she heard back from the 4th one. And it offered her a full ride scholarship for all 4 years, living allowance. Like, it was a dream deal.
Yeah.
But she'd already paid the other one, the
$100.
Oh, my God. And she was just 18. She didn't fucking know. Like, she looks back on that and she's like, ugh, sunk cost fallacy, like, really fucked me there.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, obviously the smart answer would have been to just like, well, I guess I lost the $100. That was dumb.
Well, there's even ways to, like, get people to, like, pay small fees up and then keep increasing.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, well, I've already paid this much. I'm going to keep paying until I get this scene through.
Right.
Like, you know? So, like, there's a lot of ways to manipulate people with that.
Yeah.
And just keep tying them along. You
know? Yeah. It's so frustrating. Like, to know it from the outside and to be able to see it so clearly. And she's, like, looking back, like, it's so fucking obvious in retrospect.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said a couple of quotes that I took from that. We commit the sunk cost fallacy when we focus on past investments rather than future outcomes.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah, that tracks, that tracks. People will wear clothes they don't like because they paid money for them, even though the money's not coming back.
Right.
That's a sunk cost fallacy.
Sure.
Another example she gave, people will stay in unhealthy relationships because they've been together so long, so they continue to have even more unhappy years together, which we talked about that. And again, that does not any way reflect on me and you. The fact that I brought this up twice doesn't mean anything. Please don't, like, jump to any conclusions. I'm not making any digs at husband. Right. No. Me and husband are great. Our marriage is fine. This one really, really struck home, this example she gave. A commander during the Vietnam War reported that we couldn't pull troops out because it would mean the soldiers who died had done so in vain.
Oh,
damn. Right? Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is a sunk cost fallacy on a large grand scale.
Right, right.
Yeah. Summarizing that little section, once you make a personal sacrifice, leaving means admitting you destroyed your life for fucking nothing. For nothing. Because some of the things that they offer or that they demand are donations, cutting off family, moving compounds, or public declarations.
Yeah. And think about, like, I mean, even with religion, right? Like, a lot of people tithe, right? 10% of their earnings or whatever for tithing is a pretty standard, not as standard as it used to be, but it was a pretty standard thing, right?
Yeah.
Pretty standard. So 10%, you've given this institution 10% of your earnings because of
for
this
years.
God for years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in order for you to disavow that whole, you know, entity, that whole religion,
that whole
everything,
setup.
That God, everything, you have to just be okay with all that money had gone, it was going towards nothing.
Yeah.
It went towards nothing.
Yeah. Like,
you know,
thank you for paying the electric bill for them all these years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, you know, cutting off family, like, it goes both ways. If you are joining a group, the cult might require you to cut off family. But if you're leaving the cult, you might be cutting off family that way and leaving them behind.
Sure.
So
there's a lot of groups that, you know, exist now in the United States as large entities, like, The biggest one that comes to mind is like the Mormons, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you leave the Mormons, oftentimes your families or their families won't talk to them. It doesn't always hold true, but I mean, like there is a sense of you're leaving your community if you leave that religion,
right?
Like you're leaving everything behind you,
right?
You know, so.
And if you can't afford to like just move state, you're stuck there. You're stuck in this place where you have literally cut all social ties of the people that you still have to be around.
Right, right.
On a regular basis.
Yeah.
Because you can't just move.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that tie people to these groups, and these ideas and the cognitive dissonance that is mm-hmm. prevalent in all these different things that we've talked about.
Right. Yeah. The sunk cost fallacy, I didn't realize was like so big.
And I hadn't heard that before, but that makes so much sense.
Right.
So much sense.
Right. The public declaration one, I don't know if you heard that. That was like the last one that I said. It's where you have to like announce your faith in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you've already like done that. And to go back on that publicly.
Right. You're now a liar.
Right.
And people will be like, well, you said, you know.
Now, here's one where that can work in your favor instead of against it. If you are embarking on a new challenge, like, say, a writing challenge, making that announcement on Facebook or in front of your friends and family.
Right, it helps self-motivate.
It helps self-motivate. It helps other people hold you accountable. It helps you hold yourself accountable because now you've said it publicly. But that's the positive. That's the most hopeful.
Right.
It doesn't always go that way if it's something like, hey, so I've decided that I'm joining this cult and we believe that the world is ending next week.
Right.
Which actually, I quit my job before I could find out from that lady at my job. She had told me that next week, which was this past week, that Trump was going to turn everything off. And I had asked her, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah.
Turn off what?
And she said, have a kid follow up with her.
I should. And she said, well, everything, like the internet, all of it. And I was like, the internet, all of it, like electricity too? Like what? Like I was trying to, you know, take her seriously.
Yeah,
like what all's getting turned off?
Why not?
Why is he doing that? And she said, oh, you'll see. You don't believe me now. And I was like, I'm here to, if you tell me this is going to happen, I believe you, you know, like what's going on? And she's like, oh, you'll see, you'll come to me next week and be like, Miss So-and-so told me. And
I was like, that's always the fucking answer is you'll see.
Just wait and find out.
It's going to come.
And it's always so smug and it's like, oh, because you don't know, do you?
Right. You know, that's obviously the answer is that they don't have a fucking clue what they're talking about.
Right.
But they can't say that out loud either. But they also want to show their favor to this group mm-hmm. by being very sure that whatever this thing is real.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So, okay, that was the first one. High cost commitment. Sunk cost fallacy. Okay.
Yeah.
The next one was identity fusion, where your belief literally becomes your identity. And we see this with Christianity in particular.
Yeah.
Leaving the belief, you already kind of mentioned this, means losing your community, losing your meaning, and losing everything about yourself. And so the brain defends the belief like it's defending the self. Like, you know, you're not just attacking what I think, you're attacking who I am. And like, we kind of have arguments about this sometimes, me and you, because like, I have a hard time separating myself from my opinion. So like, if I'm like showing you a song or a video and you don't like it, I take it so fucking personal.
Yeah.
Like, I take it like you're saying you don't like me or that I have bad taste and you're like attacking me.
Yeah, I have to walk you back from that
question. You do. And that's why I'm admitting that publicly that I get this one. I do. I get it. Like, I when I say I like something and I share it, like, I'm extending a piece of me.
Right.
And you're like, it's not, though.
No, you literally, like, wait with bated breath to find out what I say about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't give a shit.
I know. It kills me. But, like, I'm aware of that. And so we have discussions about it. Right, like we're having right now publicly. Hey, at least I can admit I suck, you know? Like, I think that's awesome, personally.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Life is a clown. Okay. So the third one was through information control. And that's where whoever's leading the cult, the leaders, they will make you avoid criticism.
So basically Fox News.
Yeah.
Okay.
They will dismiss all outsiders, you know, fake news.
Yeah.
And persecution proves we're right. Like, they get out ahead of it and say they're going to say that, you know, we're lying. That's because they're liars. And then, of course, you know, are like, you're lying. And they're like, see?
Well, that's we're being persecuted. You know, when Preddy got shot, right? That's why they were literally out within minutes of the shooting on social media, pitching their excuses. And within the hour, doing press conferences, saying he was a terrorist.
He was terrorist. Like, he was brandishing a weapon. Right. And he pulled a weapon and was waving it in the officer's face. It took them
no time at all to get out there and start saying these things because they were trying to get ahead of the message.
Yeah.
And that's a term, get ahead of the message, right? Yeah. They're trying to create the narrative by being the first to the punch.
Yep. Yep. And that whole persecution proves we're right. I was like, oh, I hate you. I hate you. This all protects members from new information that could trigger more dissonance, though.
Sure.
Because you put them in a little silo so that they're, we don't call it an echo chamber. We call it a silo.
Sure.
So that we give them the only information that they're allowed to have. And then they don't have to have that discomfort. They don't have to experience that dissonance because they're not getting any outside information to tell them otherwise.
Well, and the real shitty thing is, like, you know, I used to think Fox News was as bad as it got, right? Like, that's where all the shit happened. But then now they have choices of how bad it gets.
Right.
You have OAN. You have Newsmax. You have, like, talk, you know, Alex Jones or whatever doing fucking InfoWars. And you have all these fucking shitheads.
Right.
And I mean, just like straight up shitheads on television and on radio fucking and on podcasts. Liars. And, you know, I'm sure they would say the same thing about us, but like
Tim Pool, Ben Shapiro.
Right. Yeah. But
fuckers.
They just absolutely twist the truth and lie and present it as facts. And it's sickening to listen to or see this done because it's so nefarious.
It is.
And like, I, you know, like, I know, I don't know this. I'm guessing that there are people behind the scenes that are smart enough to know what they're doing.
I absolutely know that
they're... I believe I know this, but I can't say that with any certainty.
Because they are smart, I have to believe that's true. Because otherwise, they're just stupid.
Right.
And I have to believe that they are smart enough, because if they're smart enough to get ahead of the story, they know that there's a story to be got ahead of.
Exactly.
And to make up whatever they want to make up.
I don't always believe the person pitching the story is the smartest, but there is someone that is behind the scenes pushing the fucking buttons.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. And the fourth one was through prophecy reinterpretation. And that's what we saw with that cult that I told you about. Yeah. When predictions fail, leaders claim they clean up the definition or they move the goalpost.
Sure.
They say like, oh, the prophecy was spiritual, not literal, or God delayed judgment because, you know, we prayed hard enough or what the fuck ever.
Yeah.
Our faith prevented the disaster. I fucking love that. Every reinterpretation.
I can't tell you how many times is the world supposed to have ended in the last like 20 years
because of
rapture or whatever the fuck's going to happen?
And
there was the Mayan calendar that one
There was
time
the Mayan
too.
Calendar, Y2K. Y2K.
Planet X, or whatever the fuck it was. But those are just the non-religious ones.
Right.
I've got a meme that I put up every once in a while, like, marked safe from the rapture because, you know, there's a new rapture prediction every fucking year.
Right.
At least once.
Exactly. Yeah. Every reinterpretation, though, reduces the dissonance because you get used to, you train your brain to be accepting of the, oh, this is why it didn't happen this time.
Right.
Like, you kind of just get okay with, oh, well. kind of like how, you know, my dad trained his brain to be like, oh, the Cowboys lost, but it wasn't their fault, so it doesn't count.
Sure.
It wasn't because they lost. It wasn't because the other team won. It was because of the refs.
Or because you cheered for that one play.
And that cursed him.
Because he didn't have his hat turned around backwards the right way.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Did anybody else grow up with a dad who, like, when your team is on offense, you wear your hat face, your baseball cap.
Yeah.
Right? With your bill facing forward. And when you're on defense, you have to turn around and go backwards.
Well, yeah, I did stuff like that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you? Okay.
I mean, that's just good fun, you know?
I didn't know. I mean, we did it, but it was fun to be
called as long as you know you're in one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, true. It is true. Like, we took it very seriously, though.
Sure, sure. I was always aware that I was participating in something that was
silly and fun.
Yeah, yeah. I was just having fun, you know?
I mean, it's kind of like how an athlete might, you know, wear their lucky socks.
Sure.
On big game day.
I think my participation in those things was more like I saw everybody else doing these things. I'm like, that looks like fun.
Right.
Like, I don't have a problem with that. But
now, having said that, like, there is something to, like, dress for success, right? Like, if you were going to an interview, especially, like, a woman.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't just put on a suit, right? Like, women have a little bit more that they got to do for their getting ready to go out into the world, right?
Yeah.
Like, there is something to, like, the quote-unquote power suit. Like, I know I look like a badass in this outfit. I am going to look killer and walk in there and get it. I'm getting this job, right? Like, even where I work, my friend, he told me that he was supposed to have a meeting that one particular day, and he was supposed to, it ended up getting canceled, but I asked him, like, wow, you look so nice today. And he was like, yeah, I wore my fancy sweater.
Sure.
And I was like, why'd you wear your fancy sweater? What's going on? Like, what's that about? And he goes, oh, we were supposed to have a meeting today where it was like a meet and greet, and I was going to have to introduce myself to, like, all the higher ups and give a presentation. I was like, ooh, fancy. What that about?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I wasn't looking forward to it, but I had been told that I look nice in this sweater and that it particularly looks nice on my skin tone. So I was, like, wanting to feel my best. So I put this on to look my best.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's magical thinking. That's so cute. You're a psychiatrist. You know better. And he was like, I know. I'm so disappointed in myself. And he was like, but it is true.
Sure.
Like, two things can be true at once and not be cognitive dissonance.
Sure.
If you admit it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. He's like, I know that this is silly. It's not magical. I know that people find it me pleasant when I wear this, and that makes me feel good about myself, and I want to feel good about myself right now. So I'm going to wear this and look my best and know that I look my best and be confident because I know I look nice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of that.
But that's rational thinking.
Right.
There's rationale behind that.
The power suit.
You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So the last one is, oh, no, that was all four of the things. Now we're moving on to a new topic of how cults use this mechanism.
Okay.
Okay. Step one is to identify the hook or the mark. Okay.
Yeah.
So recruiters get people to say things. I want to improve myself. I care about truth. I'm spiritually open. Yeah. And then once someone publicly commits to that identity, they feel pressure to behave consistently with it because they've said it. Now they got to follow through.
Yeah.
Right? Now they got to commit to it. Right? So that's identifying the hook. Okay? Step two, and I'm just going to try to buzz through these real quick.
No. I got to stop you real quick. Just because, like, when you said that, it reminds me of every interview or, like, any time I've had to talk to my boss about, you know, numbers or this, that, or the other, you know, like, you just have to say these certain things and they need you to, like, commit to things, right?
They need a commitment from you.
Right. And you have to say it a certain way that's in business speak so that you can, you know, make sure we all know what we're talking about specifically.
Yeah, you know, and I need you in. I need you to be in.
You got
to
have your SMART goals so you can set those, you know, timely, you know, whatever fucking bullshit measures. Things down measured. Yeah, it's all good stuff.
Yeah.
And you got to do all those things. And don't you know that's the correct way to do it so we can all succeed and get all the things done correctly. Mm-hmm. And if we're all just on board, then we're definitely going to succeed.
Yeah.
That's
all. I just need to know from you, are you all in? And what is your immediate goal? How many are you going to kill this week? Like that, I mean, that's what it is. It's so gross.
Yeah.
Step two is the commitment escalation. And we talked a little bit about this, how companies will like, they'll start you off paying small and then they like slowly build up and charge you more and more and more. And you're like, well, shit.
Right.
You know, some cost fallacy. I've already invested so much.
Yeah.
Right. So the group will ask for small actions like attend a meeting or two or three, you know?
Yeah.
You need to read some material. You need to donate a little money or a little more money or a little more money. And then comes the biggest one. This one's my favorite because Mary Kay does this and I fucking hate it. Do you know what it is?
No.
Recruit a friend.
Oh, yeah.
You got to bring a buddy. Bring a buddy.
Right.
Vacation Bible school when you're a kid makes you do it. Bring a buddy. Bring a buddy next week and you get candy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Bring a buddy and if you recruit a friend, you get to go into heaven real hard.
I got news for you.
Mm-hmm.
Workplaces do this now too. You get bonuses for bringing in a friend.
Yeah.
So like we're all just mini cults in the world. Yeah. So.
Or how many times do you like you open a checking account and if you refer somebody, right?
Yeah.
Then you get a bonus added to your account. Or if you like, even plasma donation places do this.
Right, yeah.
Because I have a friend that he was donating plasma and he asked me if I want to. I can't donate plasma, unfortunately. Like, my blood is like absolutely not. It's too thin and stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I've tried. So, you know, that's how I know my blood is wrong for it.
Sure.
But he was like, hey, if you go and you drop my name, then like I get $700 as a bonus. And I was like, sweet. And he was like, yeah, do it. And I'll give you half. And I was like, I'm in. Unfortunately, I do. But like you always bring a buddy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then everybody gets more and more. And yeah, like you said, we're all fucking cults now. But each step increases psychological investment because now the person thinks, I did all of these things, and so not only am I in, but because it's so, the process is such a step-by-step thing, well laid out and structured, it must be legit, right? Because you've done so many things.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is a really professional outfit, man. You know, look at this organization.
Yeah.
Like, they're real intense. They make you do this and this and this. Like,
sure.
Yeah, seems legit. Step three is the dissonance trap. And eventually some contradictions are going to start to appear.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
You will see some cracks. You will recognize that the company you work for sucks. You will see that the cult is like culty.
Yeah.
Or that the leggings aren't as good as you want them to be. Or that maybe Tupperware is made of plastic and plastic isn't good.
To be fair, not everybody always sees the cracks.
Right. But I mean, just, you might see one or two.
You might.
Okay.
Yeah.
You might see that, oh, the Dallas Cowboys did fucking fumble that ball. Holy shit, right? Eventually, contradictions appear. The prophecy might fail. The leader behaves badly. Like, you know how the cult leaders always rape little girls? That's just what they do.
It seems that way, yeah.
It's what they always do, right? The teachings might conflict with reality. That also always happens. Always happens.
Yeah, okay. Right.
And instead of leaving, members rationalize the conflict to protect their identity. The prophecy didn't fail. Our faith prevented the catastrophe, which we already talked about, right? They just double down. They just figure out a way.
Yeah.
Like, no, actually, the Dallas Cowboys didn't fumble. But even if they did, the grass was wet. It wasn't his fault. Sure. Or what the fuck ever.
Right.
The devil like tripped him. Did you not see the devil with his pitchfork crawl onto the field? It was a snake. Didn't you see it?
Right,
I don't know.
Right,
I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
So that, of course, leads to the question, what is the difference between religion and cult psychology?
Okay.
Do you know?
Nothing.
It's not theology. It's commitment pressure. That's the only difference. Because if you join a cult, they kind of force you to do things, right?
Sure.
A church doesn't necessarily.
You're not forced. You're just encouraged and social pressure and things like that.
Yeah.
Versus if you're in a cult, you have to drink the fucking Kool-Aid.
You have to drink the fucking Kool-Aid. That's the main difference.
Right.
The commitment pressure.
Right.
So how pressured you are to commit and to do these acts is basically what determines, is it a religion or a cult?
Sure.
And that kind of blew my mind because I just always thought, yeah, religions are cults. They're like cult-ish, cult-adjacent, cult-like.
Well, they are cult-adjacent. They're definitely cult-ish. They're just not
they're not straight up
a cult. I would say
any more than, you know, Mary Kay is a cult, right?
Right. And I would honestly say that there are some workplaces that are much more cultish than a fucking church.
Yeah.
So I mean, absolutely. You know, like there are a lot of things in our life, in the world, that operate in a very cultish manner.
Have you ever attended a Primerica workshop?
I did once.
I did once as well,
and it was not at one.
Yeah, it was not at the same time because I remember I had talked to you and you were like, ew, you did that? Yeah, or maybe it was vice versa. I don't remember.
Right. No, I did. Mine was definitely before we ever got together.
Yeah, so mine too.
It was a friend of mine said he had this great, you know,
business. This great opportunity.
Great opportunity.
Yeah. And that's how they always phrase it that way. It's a great opportunity.
And I don't know what it like. You know me as well as anybody on the planet. And you know that, like, when I hear bullshit, my brain just goes, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, I can't help but, like, sit there and I went to the meeting. I was like, oh, yeah, no.
Nope. As soon as they start shouting, like, it's a call and response. And the guy on stage is like your Tony Robbins, like, right, getting the crowd worked up. And everybody's like, yeah.
Right.
And they're so excited. And it's like, this is a high school pep rally.
Yeah.
I am too old for this shit. Absolutely fucking not.
Yeah, if you're yelling that loud, I don't
buy it.
It's not correct. Whatever it is, it's not correct.
Yeah. And it sounds like you want me to give you money and then go door to door and get money. And that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, so you are just the man version of Mary Kay for women makeup. Like, to be sexist, I am going to be sexist because the majority of the people there were men.
Right.
And the majority of the sellers of Mary Kay makeup is women.
Sure.
So,
yeah,
to me, Primerica was just Mary Kay for men.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, thanks.
Yeah.
Not because I'm not a man, but because I don't like cults.
Right. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, like, you're gross. And then, so the final question, I'm going to leave you with this.
Okay.
And then we'll wrap it up and move along.
All right.
Okay? Or move along and wrap it up. Can atheists fall into the same trap?
Absolutely.
Thank you for answering correctly.
Yes.
Yes.
No, I've seen it.
Yes.
And some of our own members in Discord like to refer to this as the Sactus cult.
Oh my
when they
God.
Come to the Discord.
I'm always surprised that people come, to be honest. I'm glad they do. I'm always shocked. Pleasantly.
Now, we just had somebody come in tonight and say and thank us for having these because we provide a safe space for people that are leaving religion and that, you know, want a place to be that's not toxic. You know,
right.
So, even if we are a cult, I think we're right-minded in our cult. We are good-spirited. We are well-meaning, you know? Like,
I don't think that we're any more cult than, like, the Spaghetti Monster people.
Right.
And they're a cult, too. So, you know, we're all the fun kind.
Yeah, yeah.
And we like the Rainbow Coalition.
Come join our cult.
Yeah.
It's better.
I've heard even people say that the queer community is a cult. And I'm like, I feel like you're trying to be ugly with that. And I don't care for that language.
No, they definitely are trying to be ugly. And there might be some truth to some aspects of that, depending on what, like, anything could be a cult.
Sure.
Anything could be a cult, right?
Sure.
And I don't mean that it is a cult. I'm just saying that, like, it depends on what you're referring to with regard to that, you know,
right.
Like, wording matters, context matters.
Well, and then I'm like, so what I'm hearing too then is that straight people are a cult because they certainly have their own fucking
language. Absolutely.
And then it's like, I've heard people say Black Twitter is a cult. And I'm like, you mean the way white people are a cult? Like,
I just meant insofar as, like, you might get caught up doing certain things with a certain group that's, you know, whatever. Right. Like, it doesn't, things can turn into cults that aren't specifically cultish. You know, it just depends on how it's being handled and who's in charge of it and how it's all done.
Right.
You know, like, exactly. That's all I'm saying.
If you are scared to ask questions, you might be in a cult.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I think that's fair as well.
Yeah, and if
I agree.
If you're being encouraged to give money that you don't have, you might be in a cult.
Yeah.
And we would never try to take your money. And please feel free to ask any questions. You might not like the answer, but you can always ask.
And
I will show you the scar on my wrist.
And she did.
That looks like a clitoris, but I won't show you my feet because that's just weird.
I'm pretty sure you've shown your feet in here before.
I probably have.
I'm almost certain.
I just wanted to say it because it was funny because, like, people that, like, do feet things, like,
you
know, that's just funny. That's just good fun.
You never know what you're going to get from wife anytime we do these lives.
No, it's so true.
You should stop by and just see
my clitoris wrist.
See it all.
Come see my clitoris wrist.
If that's what gets you here, you know, whatever.
All right. That's all I have.
Okay. So, that's all we got for tonight. We'll be back hopefully very soon with our next podcast episode, which will end up being the 10th episode, I think, of...
It'll be either 9 or 10. Second Mechadoodles, 9 or 10.
It's
10. Is it 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just put out 9 this morning.
I'm going to take your word for it.
I know you are.
I know there's a Q&A coming up, and that's exciting.
Why? Because I lead a cult of this house.
You do not lead anything here. Shut your face right now.
All right.
You can't even remember to put a trash bag in the trash can when you take the trash out.
That's true, but you know what? I did take the trash out.
And you know what? Now that I think about it, you made me put the trash bag in. By not putting a new trash bag in.
Exactly.
So you are a cult leader. And I have sacrificed time and activity by doing
exactly
the work that you should have done.
That's right. That's right.
This is a cult and you are a cult leader.
It's true. It's true. All right. Come join our cult.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you next time, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.